Good morning, science. My name is Alexandra McGold, and today I'm talking to Dr. Uri Manor from the Salk Institute. He is a toolmaker par excellence. He's among the fathers of thromobody imaging. He's constantly expanding what's actually possible with super high resolution microscopy by developing deep learning tools. He has also developed nanobodies, which allow us to look into how different organelles regulate each other. And he is known for his work on mitochondria and the roles they play for hearing loss and potential cures thereof. So it's not exactly surprising that he's been voted Imaging Scientist of the Year 2020 by the Zuckerberg Initiative. What made you so technophile?
I think a lot of different things made me technophile. I've always just naturally enjoyed seeing what we can do with our tools, you know, throughout life. You know, I've always gravitated towards, you know, when I was a child, I loved video games. I loved cars. My father was a pilot and an aerospace engineer. So I was really always interested in, you know, how human beings can make these things that can do things that we would not be able to do without them. It's a matter of pushing the limits of what is possible in our reality to break down barriers and explore ever further. I also think that I have a giant bias towards being a technophile because of my personal experience with hearing aids. So I was born with severe to profound hearing loss. And without my hearing aids, my entire existence would be radically different. I can barely hear without my hearing aids. And yet, because of these hearing aids that I wear, I'm having a conversation with you right now, and that would not happen without them. And so my entire life is a testament to the power of technology to be able to improve lives and create possibilities that wouldn't be there without it. So I have definitely a very deep bias towards favoring engineering and technology, and a deep-seated belief that technology is a good thing that is going to make our lives better. Of course, we hear a lot of stories, you know, today about, you know, certain things like social media and screens, and there are downsides, there are problems, but I still remain ever optimistic that these are ultimately going to make life and the world and the human race and human existence better. So, yeah, I think it comes from a lot of places. I also love science. You know, sometimes you have to separate technology from science. But I do tend to believe, from what I've seen, that science and discoveries are very much driven by technology. In fact, it's impossible for me to understand how anyone wouldn't recognize that the better the tools, the more discoveries you can make. So I also love discovery. I also love when we get a little bit more insight into what's going on in nature or in health and disease, because you can see how humans are wired to constantly try to improve our state. So as soon as we figure out a tool that allows us to improve our state, we immediately implement it to do so. There's a quote somewhere that is attributed to Einstein, so we have to be careful, because apparently Einstein, you know, said everything, right? Yeah. Did you put Einstein after every possible true statement ever? But he said something along the lines of it being a miracle that the universe is interpretable. It didn't have to be interpretable. There didn't have to be rules and the ability to discern those rules. There didn't even have to be rules, you know, but the fact that they're discernible is a miracle. And what I would say is we can take it a step further. There's two more miracles. One is the fact that figuring out those rules is so fun. There's a joy that comes from either making a new discovery in the lab or from making a new tool that works. and you finally get it together and the experiment worked, even if you haven't made a discovery, that's fun. That is really fun. And then if you actually see something that no one else has ever seen before, that actually helps you understand what's going on, then that's pleasure. I mean, it's so fun. It didn't have to be that way, but it is. And then on top of that, the fact that those discoveries can be used to make our lives better, that they can be used to cure a disease or treat a patient or, anything for health or for improving life, that's also a miracle. So somehow this universe, this existence is constructed in a way that we're being strung along by our natural joys and pleasures to make the world a better place for everyone. And technology is at the heart of that.
Yeah. I mean, tools are these unbelievable doorways into completely new worlds. And guys, look at Dr. Manar's work, then you can see where the edge of the technology really lies. So it brings me to the question, if there was a fairy, any kind of setup where you had absolutely no limitations in terms of finances or workforce, what do you think you might do?
Well, that's obviously a fantasy. Sure. That doesn't exist. I would be bringing together computer scientists, data scientists, software engineers, in particular with expertise in AI, machine learning, deep learning, to work closely with engineers who can build tools, measurement devices. Hardcore electrical, optical, engineer type people, physicists, and bioengineers, people like Patrick Su at UC Berkeley, the people at the forefront of things like CRISPR technology and protein engineers designing new fluorescent or other types of probes that allow us to make measurements. I will bring them all together to start measuring and manipulating biological systems in a really integrated way so that we're constantly improving our AI models so that we can start to pull out all of these hidden patterns that are either too subtle, nuanced, or complicated for us to wrap our minds around. But AI is really uniquely positioned. And then, and by the way, in terms of the AI, it's not just building AIs that can make predictions and draw inferences, but also a lot more effort into interpretable AIs. So these AIs are learning things. They're learning amazing things that we didn't even think was possible.
Yeah.
But we're still struggling to understand what they learned.
Yeah.
And framing it in a way that actually gives us deeper insight into the mechanisms that are driving these patterns and relationships. So I think I would invest a lot more into that. And then finally, I mentioned software engineers, which cannot be overstated, is making these tools usable by people who are not computer scientists is such an important, undervalued part of our work. You know, I work with brilliant computer scientists like Jeremy Howard, Fred Monroe, a bunch of people that can do these things, but putting it into like what you might be familiar with in terms of like commercial software, where it's just click and point, so that I could train an undergrad who's really interested in the brain or interested in mitochondria, who never took a computer science class, and making that usable for them so that more and more people can both benefit from these tools and also add to them, because they have insights and ideas for how those tools can be used that may not be obvious to a computer scientist.
When do you fill in your element?
I would say there's two. They're related, but either when I see new data, indicating that a tool is working or that we've figured out a way to use it in a way that shows us something new or created something new, new discoveries.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. I mean, I literally scream in the lab. People know that, like in my lab, know that about me, that I will actually scream, like with joy. And then the other one is ideas. Whenever you've connected dots that you never connected before, and you come up with an idea for something that you could do in the future that hasn't even been done yet, but but it's such a cool idea, and you see the path, and you see how you could make it happen. And forget about all the nuances and the potential pitfalls, and they'll be there. You know they're going to be there, but you know that it's possible. It's almost like a faith. It's almost like it's almost a religious experience for me. It's a mystical. It's a mystical experience when you have a vision for something that could happen in the future if you just put in the work and you see how it's going to happen. That idea is so powerful, and I think it's something deep in us. Like as scientists, we get excited about ideas for our science. Other people get excited, you know, about ideas in politics or about religion, or it's a deep-seated human thing. But as a scientist, it's something really special because you're creating it's usually something that you really will create. And it's going to happen in your lifetime. It's really going to happen in your hands. And there's a potential there to uncover something new about our universe and maybe even make people's lives better. I mean, it's such a powerful experience. That for me is enough for the rest of it. Like I tell people that, you know, it is mind blowing to me that we get paid to do what we do.
Yes.
You know, because if I had $1 billion, you know, one thing I forgot to say, you said if I had infinite resources, I would still be doing what I'm doing.
Yes.
You know, I would probably do it with more support and more people, but this is what I want to do.
End.
Like, you know,
the
whole point of making money or having money in our current society is so that you can do what you want to do. And yet here I am doing what I want to do, and I get paid to do it. So I feel like the luckiest person on the planet to be able to do this on a daily basis.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dr. Manohar. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me.